The list of problems is long. Injury, death, sexual victimization, poor grades, physical violence, arrest, to say nothing of regrets the next morning. The consequences range from vehicular manslaughter to just plain awful hangovers. So why do so many college students persist in binge drinking every weekend or every Tuesday or Thursday? Thomas Vandervan, a sociologist at Ohio University and author of the book Getting Wasted, Why College Students Drink Too Much and Party So Hard, spent years researching this question. Why does toxic, excessive drinking thrive on college campuses where there are so many negative consequences and supposedly so many smart people? What is the enduring appeal of getting wasted, train wrecked, obliterated, hammered, or destroyed? Pick your euphemism. Thomas, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
So you were primarily interested, I gather, in studying what gets overlooked by alcohol researchers. Facts and stats are all good, but you wanted to learn from the students why. Why do they drink the way they do? So why?
Well, a variety of reasons. I guess if I, you know, what I did as a sociologist is try to understand the drinking scene as a social process and as a culture and how they work together and collaborate to decide when to drink and how much to drink and to manage the consequences of that drinking. One of the questions that I ask them in my interviews and field work is, you know, why they decided to drink on this particular episode or what they got out of drinking. Probably number one answer was something about lowering inhibitions, that drinking allowed them to be more confident in approaching people and more social, kind of lets their guard down. One of my informants said something about alcohol takes a couple of bricks out of the wall.
Social rewards, but you don't have to binge drink and, you know, lose your dinner and go crazy to get that social inhibition dropping.
That's true. That's true. They take it, you know, pretty far, a lot of them. And I guess I would add to that is, you know, when I ask the question, why do they continue to do this when so much can and does go wrong? Well, part of the bad things that happen when college students are drinking together, getting arrested, getting sick, all that. I think in part they're drinking not in spite of those things, but because of those things. So when things go wrong in the drinking scene, people getting sick and getting into fights and getting upset, their friends and their co-drinkers mobilize and provide all this informal social support and help each other out, and it creates war stories and bonding, this context for bonding that occurs in the drinking scene. So I think that has something to do with it too.
So the very creation of the support system to help students who go overboard and get themselves into trouble, I know on some campuses they call it being a good Sam, like Good Samaritan and that kind of thing.
Right.
That the very creation of that support system is reinforcing in this bonding way that then winds up reinforcing the binge drinking itself?
Well, I think this informal social support has a good side and a bad side. The bad side of it is that it might facilitate heavy drinking. So if I know that I have a group of friends who are going to take care of me after I get intoxicated, then I have that web of support to rely on. So it might facilitate heavy drinking. But I do think that support is a good thing. It keeps people if your friends are taking care of you and calling 911 for you if you're dangerously intoxicated, or intervening in situations that hold the potential for sexual victimization, taking away your car keys. There's all kinds of good things that result from this informal social support too. So I think there's a duality to that support. I think that's complicated.
And there's a third thing that we'll bring into it that's central to your book. But listeners, what about for you? Are you a college student now? Do you engage in binge drinking? Do you identify with what our guest Thomas Vandervan, author of the book Getting Wasted, has been saying, having to do with loosening of social inhibitions? Well, that's not news. But as I said, you don't have to binge drink in order to loosen social inhibitions with alcohol. Or the creation of these social networks, also maybe just the thrill of trying to go overboard, what the development experts call normative risk-taking, as teenagers become teenagers and become young adults, trying to look some risks in the face. That's part of growing up. Is that it? So for yourself, for your friends, for maybe your past self, if you're out of college now, or if you're your kids, if you're a parent of a college student, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And let's go right to Ellen in New Brunswick, who works at Rutgers at the health department. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. I don't work at the health department. I'm a campus minister, but I'm very aware of the health department. We work with the health facilities, and they have published all sorts of interesting statistics.
And Ellen, just turn off your radio so we don't get an echo coming back 7 seconds later, okay?
Okay, sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Okay, I wasn't hearing the radio in your ear, so. They publish statistics that they publish regularly that say X number of students do not drink at all and X number stop after two drinks, and the statistics are pretty impressive. I wish I had them right in my fingertips, but I don't.
In other words, the vast majority of students stop after a couple of drinks.
Exactly. Either they don't drink at all or they stop after two drinks. So it's a small number of people who create a big part of the problem.
Thomas Vanderven, do you agree?
I do agree. There are many abstainers on our nation's campuses and a lot of minor to moderate users as well. In fact, in recent years, that number, that group of abstainers has grown significantly on college campuses. So I agree with that statement. And we need to recognize that they're part of the college scene too, and that there are non-drinkers who are affected by the heavy drinking of their heavy drinking cohorts. So yeah, I agree with that.
Do you think, Ellen, in your experience, and Thomas from your research, that it's one class or another that tends to do it? In other words, is it the freshman class? They get away from home for the first time and they go nuts, and then it tends to lessen as they get older, or is it something else?
I wish I could tell you that, and I really don't know. I think it's that there are some kids who just tend to overdo for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and the purpose of having this publicity that not so many drink is to encourage those who are kind of sitting on the side, gee, am I being a dork if I don't participate, to give them validation that they're not the ones alone. And whether it goes by class or whether it goes by the serious students versus the party students or whatever, I'd have to check with our health department because they're the ones who've done the statistics.
Ellen, thank you. Thomas, same question?
Yeah, the heavier drinking is occurring during the first years of for your typical college drinker, their heaviest drinking is in their first couple of years, and it starts to decrease later as they progress through school.
Karen in Highland Park, you're on WNYC. Karen, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. I am the mother of a student who's going into his junior year, and he's really into the drinking scene. And it's very scary for me as a parent. I don't know what to say to him, other than to talk about the consequences. I also see that in my nieces and nephews, as they graduate from college, they continue this culture of drinking. And I just see it as part of that whole thing that young people do. And I don't know if there's anything we can do about it.
Thomas, does your book include advice to parents?
Well, I think it's an implicit, and my advice generally for college students and their parents is to be aware of the risks, to learn if you're going to drink how to manage your intake and to manage your blood alcohol concentration. So there are things that people, I've got a daughter who's starting college this year. So I'm a sociologist, but I'm also a parent.
I'm also a parent.
You're a sample of one.
Yeah, and I've talked to her. And the research suggests that it does help when we talk to our children about drinking and telling them what the consequences are and letting them know that you should know how much alcohol is in your drink. Here, that's a simple one.
Okay.
Eat before you drink and while you drink. You know, take care of your friends. Look out for your friends and make sure that they're looking out for you. Have a responsible drinker or a sober person who's part of your, you know, your social event. All of these things, you know, I think just talking to them and showing that you care and you're interested and telling them the college is much more than drinking. It's about, you know, falling in love with an academic discipline. And you know, following that down new paths. So I think just talking to your kids and your nieces and nephews, I think, is a good idea.
So I was hearing the other day just from a student at an Ivy League college that there's a lot of peer pressure to not seem like you take your studies too seriously and that you're there for the social life. And this kid felt almost, you know, a pressure to hide the fact that he was actually into his schoolwork. But and Karen, this is, you know, too late for you since your kid is going off to college, and Tom is too late for you. But you mention in the book that protective parenting has led to a decrease in child independence, and therefore what? This leads to the explosion of freedom, or experience of an explosion of freedom that leads to binge drinking.
I think they're related. I think in the last couple decades, their children, especially middle-class kids, have had much less autonomy. So their lives are more choreographed. They're driven to and from practices and lessons and organizations, and there's less spontaneous play in the neighborhood, that sort of thing. Margaret Nelson's book, Parenting Out of Control, which is an NYU Press book, like mine, does a great job of talking about the surveillance and the you know, we're just really on top of our kids. One of the consequences of that is that when they are first get away from that surveillance and that social control, and many of them experience that for the first time in college, that freedom, that they just take full advantage of it. That, you know, they're just like, they're let off the leash and it's out of control. So that's one consequence. The other consequence is they haven't had to earlier, you know, in adolescence, experience and try on adult roles. You know, act as, you know, the nurturer and the caretaker and the protector and all that. And the college drinking scene allows all kinds of opportunities to take care of your friends, bailing them out of jail, taking care of them when they're sick. The drinking scene produces these opportunities mm-hmm. to behave like adults in ways that they haven't been able to before.
Thomas Vanderven from Ohio University, author of Getting Wasted, Why College Students Drink Too Much and Party So Hard. And Andrew in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, I think I just graduated from college very recently, about 3 months ago, from Emerson in Boston. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of colleges in that city. And I think that, you know, from my experience and observations, a lot of people tend to develop patterns that they keep with them for the rest of their lives, or at least as far as I know, when they start drinking a lot and binge drinking in college. And it could lead to violence. I mean, my friend Kelly in Boston was last week just at a bar, and this guy who was a senior at some school in Boston picked her up and dropped her on her head. And she hadn't met this guy. She had no idea. And I think that people have to be careful when they go to college and they start drinking. I mean, experimenting is very fun, and it provides a lot of insight. But I think that if you're not careful, that you develop patterns that you take with you for the rest of your life, and it could hurt other people.
Andrew, thank you. And Tom, you know, to that point, we have a post on our website from Melissa in New Jersey who writes, this part of, quote, college culture is something that hangs around long after you have left college. Many friends and acquaintances in my age bracket of 28 to 35 engage in binge drinking. We don't drink during the work week, but when the weekend hits or we go to a party or wedding, we drink as much as we can. I don't know if we still participate in this because we don't want to grow up or that we lead such stressful, busy work lives that we feel the need to let loose in an extreme way. But so there's you know, two, Tom, who say this is persisting, at least to the 28 to 35 age group.
Yeah. Well, there's evidence that if you are a heavy drinker in college, that it makes sense. This should be no surprise to anybody that you're more likely to be a heavy drinker later in life. But the other reason why I think there's so much heavy drinking in college is because you've got this group of young people with very few social role obligations. So they don't have a career or one they care about. They don't have a family. They're not connected to their family. They're sort of, they're relative free agents. So your that email that you were just reading, if you're talking about young adults who are they're out in the workforce, but they don't have the, they haven't started a family yet, and maybe they're living at home, they sort of have a lower stake in conformity. So there's this extended adolescence where you don't have as many role obligations that sort of stand in the way between you and drinking.
Thomas Vandervan is a sociologist at Ohio University and a parent of an incoming freshman, we just learned. At what school, or don't you want to say?
Ohio University.
Oh, free tuition. And
there
author
you go.
Of the book, Getting Wasted, Why College Students Drink Too Much and Party So Hard. Thank you so much. It was a great conversation.
Great, thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Spotify comes to America, the cloud computing way to listen to music for pay or for free. Stay tuned.